Hey friends, thanks for tuning in to the Church Planner Podcast. Before we started today, wanted to tell you about a really special opportunity our friends at the Micro Church Conference put on by Brave Future, happening April 18th through the 20th in Kansas City. This is for all of you who are wondering what is a new kind of paradigm for missional church planting and church multiplication through smaller expressions of church, what they call rediscovering the smaller way. It's happening April 18th through the 20th. Kansas City is being hosted by Kansas City Underground. Going to be a great weekend. And they've given us 4 free registrations to give away. Normally the price is $90, but we will get you into the conference for free. We have 4 of those. What you can do to enter is go on our Instagram at Church Planter Podcast. And there you'll find a DM button. Click that DM button. Send us a DM with your email on it and your name and where you serve. So email, name, where you serve, and you'll be entered to win one of 4 micro church conference registrations. You just get yourself to Kansas City and you can be there and learn a ton from our friends at Brave Futures. Hope you enjoy the show today.
Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones, and this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Today's podcast is brought to you by New Breed Training. New Breed exists to provide you with courses, cohorts, and resources from the New Breed team, such as yours truly, Andrea Jones, Ralph Moore, Alan Hirsch, Hugh Halter, and many more. To learn to disciple like Jesus so you can plant like Paul, head on over to newbreedtraining.com. And now, back to the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones.
And we got a special episode today. Peyton, why don't you introduce our guest?
Well, I was hoping, Pete, that you would kick off in that very special voice you had today when we first started. Do you want to talk about that by any chance before I introduce our guest?
Dude, I'm not even sure how I did it. I'm not sure how I fixed it. All I can say is I spilled coffee on the podcasting board. Maybe that's why, you know, at the tech team at church, they never let you have liquids around the equipment. I don't know.
Yeah. Does that mean we don't have a soundboard today?
At the moment? not at the moment.
All right. Well, guys, this is why we can't have nice things, but we can have nice guests. So I want to tell you a little bit about our guest today, D'Amico Bivens. He's a church planner and co-pastor of Sojourn Southside Church in Houston, part of a family of churches reconciling neighbors and neighborhoods to God and one another. But he's also the U.S. program lead trainer for Reliant, our sponsor that helps church planners like you raise support. So, D'Amico, it's really good to have you on here, man. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Peyton, and thank you, Pete. Yeah, it's a privilege and an honor to be talking to you, brothers.
Yeah, and you're just someone we like. Brooks likes you, and Brooks doesn't like people. So the fact that when you came and hung out with us at New Breed during the Orlando Exponential Conference, we got to know you. But hey, we just want to thank you first off for really looking after church planners, A, and B, for partnering with us as we pour into church planners. That means a lot, I know, to our listeners. Definitely means a lot to me. And you're a good hang. So, you know, we appreciate you coming on.
D'Amico, one of the first questions we always like to ask people is, how did you come to faith?
I grew up in a small rural town, State Line, Mississippi, like 600 people small. My mother was 14 when she gave birth to me. My father was 19. He was incarcerated most of my life. But one thing that I had a great family who supported me and loved me well and took me to church. And our church was a small missionary Baptist church. Men wore suits, women wore dresses, ushers in white skirts and dresses with the white gloves. And W.E. Rankin is that pastor. He's still that pastor. He's a co-vocational pastor. He also works at a funeral home. And my great aunt Lisa taught me a lot about Jesus. And I learned a lot about God at that church. But I wouldn't have described myself as a follower of Jesus. I was just a churchgoer. It was what my family did, but I didn't identify as a Christian. Kind of fast forward, I'm in high school. I was prom king, class favorites. I was an athlete. People used to kind of lift me up, and my identity was in who people said that I was. And I remember going to junior college, playing football, and things just weren't working out. Like I was used to making plays and interceptions, and but when I was there, I just wasn't doing the things that I knew how to do as an athlete. And so it was like the Lord was kind of chiseling away my identity as an athlete. So I remember dropping out of school, and I stopped playing football, and I was really depressed because I didn't know who I was. I think a lot of athletes go through that. And I remember I was like, okay, my mom was in the back of my head. You got to work. You got to go to school. You got to have a plan. So I was like, all right, I know I can't sit at home. So I started working at a sawmill. We made plywood, but it was hard work. I was like, I got to get back in school. Like all the while, the Lord was like drawing me to himself. I had sleep insomnia in high school and college. But I knew that the Lord was like drawing me to himself. And I remember it was a revival at my mom's church. And I was kind of like, I was at a low place. I was like, Lord, if you're real, prove it. You know, you're not, I wouldn't recommend testing God, but in that moment, I was kind of testing God. Like, if you're real, prove it. And I remember hopping in my 1984 Cutlass G-body. It's a two-door. my first car, and I drove to my mom's church. And there was this pastor. His name was Vincent Ross from New York. He came. He preached the gospel. And something happened that had never happened. The Holy Spirit like prepared me for an altar call. Like I knew I was going to the altar that day. And so the gentleman says, come on down, young man, you know who you are. And I'm kind of looking around and like knowing that he's talking to me. So I go to the altar, and he tells me just in a private exchange between him and I, he was like, no more sleepless nights. And so I sleep insomnia. And so like I knew that the Lord was like speaking through him to me, he preached the gospel. And the Lord had kind of gave just through this man, just something that kind of proved to me that the Lord was aware of who I was and going on in my life. And it was a profound moment in my life. I called my friends that night that I used to party with, and I started selling drugs in ninth grade. And I called my friends and I told them, I was like, hey, I found something better. I found something better than what we were doing. And from that day on, I just been serving the local church, and it's been a privilege and an honor to serve the local church. And so that's what I'm still doing. I'm a pastor now, but I've no job too big or small for me in the kingdom of God. So that's part of my story. And I think I grew up in and around church, and I kind of had the knowledge, the head knowledge of who God was, but the Lord that night like penetrated my heart and took a heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh, and I'm eternally grateful.
That's amazing. Tell us a little bit. You know, obviously you work with church planners all the time now. You are a church planner. How did you get into church planning?
Yeah, great question. So I started in Christian ministry 2013. One of my best friends, he was in and around Hattiesburg where we grew up, and he invited me to his church. And he was like, I'm going to be working with the youth and college campus ministry. And so that's kind of how I cut my teeth, youth ministry, college campus ministry. So Raph and I, we did that for a few years, maybe like 4 years. And he was at a church in Hattiesburg that had a church planting residency. I didn't know about it at the time, but he was in the residency. So he was in the residency for like maybe a year. 8 months into the residency, you have to like know where you're going to go and plant a church. And so I was actually applying for my doctorate in physical therapy. And Raph was like, hey, man, I'm going to plant a church. I want you to, let's do it together. Like, we've been doing ministry together. I had never heard about church planting. Like, it was new language for me, but this church, the church at Four Points in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, was praying about planting churches nationally and globally. LA, Portland, Oregon, New Orleans, Louisiana, the Mississippi Gulf Coast, Houston, Texas. So one of our pastors, Dan, was praying about planting churches nationally and globally. And he was actually in Dubai working with migrant workers in Dubai. And he started learning about Houston and started to send us stats on Houston. And we started praying about Houston. Some of the leaders from our church, we spent a week praying and fasting. And after that week of praying and fasting, the Lord kind of pressed upon our hearts, like, why not Houston? And so we visited the city, fell in love with the city. My wife, Raph's wife, fell in love with the city and felt like it was the place that God was calling us to. So that same Holy Spirit preparation that the Lord gave me when I came to faith, I remember driving on MLK, where we are in the city of Houston. And I remember like the Holy Spirit impressing upon me to tell my wife, we're going to live in this neighborhood. And we ended up renting a house, maybe like two streets from where I told my wife that. And now we live maybe a couple of streets from where we rented. So we've been there. And so, yeah, that's part of how we ended up in Houston, planting a church. We moved to the city the summer of 2019. So coming up on 5 years being in the city, the church is a year old. And, you know, our philosophy of ministry, low, slow, and relational. We want to make disciples, multiply these small groups that we call neighborhood parishes, plant churches, and partner strategically. So that's what we want to do. We want to be low-key. We're not being flashy. Long-term, we want to be in the neighborhood, set ourselves up to be here for a long time, and relational, building deep relationships with our neighbors. And by God's grace, we've been doing that.
That's awesome. You know, I was telling Peyton, when my wife and I, when we first visited Texas, because we're new to the state, we're part of the transplants that have fled California, as I like to say. And we visited Houston, and I remember telling Peyton, I go, Houston is Long Beach, which is where we church planted. I go, it's literally Long Beach. It looks the same as Long Beach. It has the same feel as Long Beach. It's Long Beach. I'm like, this is like ripe for church plants right here, because that's definitely Long Beach, totally ripe for church plants. So that's awesome, man. Let me ask you something. There's a lot of people, church planters, that when they're planning, sometimes they raise support, but a lot of them are, you know, they're looking for the check from the network or their denomination, and that way they can forego some of the support raising. You know, what's your feelings on raising support? Is it beneficial to church planning? Is it something that, hey, if you can avoid it and you can get the check, go for that? I mean, What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I haven't always been a Christian, and I like hip hop. So there's this rapper, Lil Wayne. He had a bar that said, if you live, kind of bear with me, y'all and listeners, if you live by the gun, you die by the gun. And so, and I think in church planting, one thing that I like to say, if you live by the big check, you die by the big check. And that's not the story for everybody, but sometimes when you're dependent on one giving source, if that giving source runs out, then you're in a bind. And not all churches are created equal. We planted a church in a black and brown distressed neighborhood on the south side of Houston, Texas. And not all churches can be self-sustained in 1 to 3 years. We actually were given godly wisdom by men who planted churches in neighborhoods like ours. Like, you need to be thinking like 7 to 10 years before you're quote unquote self-sustained. And so it takes time for everybody. But I think the benefit for us in particular, and maybe for others, is raising financial support enabled us to be in a good place to plant a church. So we support raise our salary and insurance for 2 years. And that support is still going on. But when we get to Houston and we plant the church, now the church is not financially crippled because we have two full-time pastors who are doing the work, but we're not trying to make budget because we've kind of spread ourselves thin financially. So by God's grace, we got two full-time pastors. We're praying to raise up a third. We got four guys in the leadership pipeline. And so because we were able to raise financial support, we have more money to do more ministry. So our partners and outreach and our prayers to own our own space in 3 to 5 years, we're able to have those conversations because Raph and I, we support raise our salary. So I think it's a great benefit to the local church. In our case, when the local church doesn't have to pay the salary of the pastor, now there's a time, and we pray that will be the case. But for right now, we're in a good place as a local church because we support raise our salary. So I think that's why it's beneficial. It's kind of depending on where you are. When you're planting churches, and especially when the communities are heterogeneous, when they look different, it can be harder for those churches to grow. Yep. Because they're not the same. So yeah. It's different. Or if you're in a hard place where people aren't flocking to move to your neighborhood, it's a little bit more challenging. And so because of that, especially like if individuals are planting churches, trying to, reach their communities are multi-ethnic. And especially if they have diversity socioeconomically, yep. Which I think is one of the hardest diversities to achieve, whenever that happens, doing something like support raising could be a great blessing to your ministry and to your people.
Yeah.
And especially if you're reaching non-believers, right? Non-believers, they don't know how to give. They don't give. Or if you're reaching folks who are unchurched, maybe they have a mistrust of the church and pastors and leaders. That's our experience. I remember walking in one of the grocery stores in my neighborhood, and I was taking one of the brothers shopping who needed some help. And the lady learned that I was a pastor that worked there. She was like, you don't have a private jet. You don't have a, you're not driving a Bentley. I was like, I live in this neighborhood. And if I had a private jet and a Bentley, I would not be shopping in our hood grocery store.
Right.
Because it wasn't Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, So it was like, but it was for her to see, like, I'm a regular person. I'm not a, TV televangelist. Like, I'm someone who loves my block. I'm on my block. I'm loving my neighbors. And sometimes just kind of like, for us, it's like tearing down those misnomers that they have about pastors. Like, we've actually been encouraged to not have to kind of push the collection plate, because sometimes it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember my stepdad came to our church and he was like, do y'all take up offering? I was like, yeah, we did it. He's like, I don't remember it. But we definitely think that offering is important and people's giving is important. But it's just not something that sometimes in communities where it can happen a lot and it can create like this mistrust. And so raising financial.
Yeah.
That's so important. It's funny because, we're so careful, like, who we put as a sponsor, right? Like, we always feel like if there's someone that's going to help a planter, come sponsor us, right? Because planters are like veterans, right? Like, everybody wants to take from a planter. Everybody wants money off a planter. When you find someone like Reliant who's like, hey, we actually know, we're living this. Like, we're in this. Like, you're in the trenches. And everything you said, and you could go back 10 years on this podcast, 100% philosophically aligns with what Pete and I have personally lived in the trenches. Like, Pete was a treasurer in our church in Urban Long Beach.
For 6 months, because I hated it. I hated that job.
It was a miracle. He's like, I didn't take a paycheck till my final year. So the first 3 years there, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was close to 3 years, no paycheck. And then I took a partial paycheck when we did get some funding from a denomination, but I also put on another employee, so I could leave because it was all team leadership. But it's exactly what we train planners is, do not be a burden to the church. I mean, that's Pauline. Everything you just said is Pauline.
The other thing too, if you remember, like, probably what, 30% of our members, if you want to use that term, were homeless.
Yeah.
And so when we passed the bucket, it was awesome because you'd see the homeless putting in a buck or whatever. But I can tell you as a treasurer, it was never like there was enough money that you could actually pay someone. Like, it wasn't that kind of money. I mean, it just wasn't, when 30% of your people are homeless and, probably what, 40% were felons. And so it's always hard for a felon to get a job. It's not like they're going to have a lot of money to drop in. It's just the case.
Some people think Paul just worked with his hands, and he did, but he also raised funds. Don't believe me? Check out Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 10, and Romans 15. In fact, when the kingdom of God catapulted forward, there was usually a kingdom-minded businessman or woman behind it, like Priscilla and Aquila. If you're going to raise funds, though, do it well. Our partners, Reliant, can help you put rocket fuel in your fundraising tank. I wish I'd had this when I was church planning, but Reliant can partner with you to get you the training and coaching you need to raise that support, as well as provide you with employment services you may need, like payroll, health benefits, and more. To learn more, check out Reliant.org/CPP. I've always believed that you know, when you look at Paul, and right now there's a move back towards bivocationalism, which is a healthy thing, but it's to me, you know, it's trivocation. There's three things, right? There's the working with your hands. There might be the church able to partially sustain eventually. But I, again, like you, my first few years, I typically didn't go on staff when I was planting. I never tied the mission to my personal finances. That was really important. But then the fundraising was the other part of it. And Paul does that. And so what we have to be careful of is people, and I know you're doing this, D'Amico, where you, all three, you know, right now it's two. The mission dictates your model, right? The mission dictates right now that, hey, we leave the church breathe. We're not going to be a burden to the church. And that's where the fundraising really comes in. And so let's get practical. You know, let's kind of head into it. One of our favorite quotes on here, on this podcast, is Michael Cheshire. Ah, church planters and money. Hard to get them in the same room. And that's what Reliant does, right? you actually help train church planters specifically how to raise support. So just, you know, can you give us a sneak peek, maybe some tips on how planners can go about doing that?
Yeah. I'll give you three. And then I'll kind of define what I'm saying when I'm talking about it. So first one is people give to people. The second one is an ask to everyone is an ask to no one. And then the third one is keeping the ball in your court. And so, yeah, people giving to people. So what do I mean when I say that? Like, one of the first things that we do is you share your story and you share the vision for how this new church plant or ministry came out of your story. And then you're going to invite people to partner with you in a new ministry. So I think that's one of the important parts is you're not begging for money. You're not asking for money. You're inviting people to partner, have this gospel partnership with you. And so most often people want to partner with you and not the idea of what you're doing. So people give to people. They want to partner with you and not the idea of what you're doing. So sharing your story is an easy outline of like, okay, how did you get saved? Something that y'all asked me when I came on the podcast, like another impactful God story. Like, what was something big that God did in your life and how you got called into ministry? So people give to people. Not the idea, but they give to people and the stories that are wrapped up in that. And then also, I ask to everyone is an ask to no one. So sometimes you maybe have seen, hey, I'm going to plant a church in Ventura, California. Would love for you to give money towards this initiative. So what happens when you post on Facebook, everyone who reads that assumes that Peyton's going to do it or Pete's going to do it, and no one ends up doing it. So ask to everyone is an ask to no one. So Facebook and mass emails, they're great for sharing information, but not for inviting people to partner with you and feel a part of your ministry. So kind of if you can, like one of the best ways is to sit down with someone, share the vision of what God is doing and inviting them to be partners in ministry with you. But it helps you and them to remember that, once again, this is not a financial transaction. This is a gospel partnership. The same way we can't save someone, that's God's job. We can't cause them to give to support us. So when we're inviting people into gospel partnership, it's God's job to do that. And lastly, keep the ball in your court. We were just talking about earlier about like the fullness of our schedules. And chances are, like right after you meet with someone, or right after you leave the coffee shop, real life crept in. Like real life is beginning to happen. Like they're going home, or you know, they're trying to decompress from work. So they're excited for you, and it's not like they're not loving what you're saying, but they forget real quick about what they talked about. And so I'm really detailed. I keep a detailed calendar. As soon as someone tells me to do something, I put it on my calendar. But everybody ain't built like that, and not everybody does that. So keeping the ball in your court, it's always letting them know when you're going to follow up with them. So today's Wednesday. If I met with someone on a Wednesday, I would say like, hey, I know you said you wanted to pray with your spouse about the financial support that you said that you wanted to contribute to our ministry. Today's Wednesday. It's 10:40. It seems like this time is a good time for you. Would it be okay if I followed up with you in a week? I'll give you a call around 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Would it be okay if I gave you a call? Keep the ball in your court. Let them know where you're going to be calling. And that way the ball is in your court and you get to follow up with them. And so reaching out again goes a long way in helping folks to be a part of your team, especially people who live busy lives. So people give to people. Ask to everyone is ask to no one, and then keep the ball in your court. Those are kind of three practical tips that have helped me for sure.
Awesome. What does training actually look like with Reliant?
Yeah, great question. So there's two types of trainings that we do. We do an asynchronous training, which is a self-paced training. So once again, people who live busy lives, this one is great for them because it's self-paced. We will give folks these modules through Learn. So they're going to be working through assignments. So as you're working through these assignments, like the first one might be a biblical based model to support raising. And then we're going to be helping them craft and create their presentation. It's going to start with sharing your story. It's going to be what motivates you. It's going to be the stats around the area where you're planting. It's going to be the gospel. You might be sharing the gospel for the first time with someone or encouraging someone in the gospel. Then you're going to pause and ask them if you have any questions. And then you're going to invite people into these three areas of partnership: prayer, connecting you to other people, and financial support. And then we'll even teach you how to do and make a financial ask. So that's like the asynchronous training. So self-paced. And then the in-person trainings, I'll be leading one in College Station on Friday. It's those same things that we're working through those Learn assignments. But for 2 days, we're going to be workshopping, making sure that you're fine-tuned. You know how to talk about your ministry, share the gospel. You know how to invite people into gospel partnership. And so for 2 days, essentially, you're going to be workshopping, and then we'll give you like the thumbs up. We call it deputization. We'll be deputizing people like, hey, you got it. Go raise financial support. Go invite people into the gospel partnership. So those are two ways that we do training. And once you get done with the training, we're going to coach you. You're going to be on these weekly coaching calls. So I'm a coach. So I coach folks. I got folks in Flint, Michigan, Phoenix, Arizona. And so we're on a call, Massachusetts. So we're on the phone with these folks like once a week, twice a week, kind of depending on where they are. If they have let's just say, for instance, the Dooleys in Arizona, they got a big goal, like $500,000, but they have a long runway. And so whenever we're talking to them, whether it's once a week or twice a week, we're making sure that they're being accountable to what they've said God has called them to do. So we're just providing encouragement, accountability. You know, we always pray on these calls, just making sure that they know that they have somebody praying with them. And we're just asking the Lord to continue to bless them and keep them as they're doing this very challenging thing. And so that's a part of what we, you know, training, coaching.
Yeah.
I mean, just make sure people are successful to get to their goal that they've set.
I'll just tell you, like the part where you say we're going to help you craft your presentation and your ask, like that is so valuable, because that's the thing when you read a book on fundraising, you don't really get that. You know what I mean? Like in that coaching that goes along with it, like having a template, having something that's compelling. I'll just be honest. Like I always think and Pete will tell you this, right? Pete's a marketer. I always think my ask is way better than it is. Everybody else, like anytime, it doesn't matter for new breed or whatever, I'll ask, someone will say, oh, that's not compelling. And I'll listen to the people that have raised millions of dollars. And it's mind blowing when they're like, no, this is what you got to do. And so for me personally, as a church planner, I would benefit from that now, to be honest.
Yeah.
But the 2-day events, let me ask you real quick. How often are those run, the workshop event, and where do they take place at?
Yeah, great question. To kind of go back and piggyback real quick on what you said, like part of our training is making sure that their presentations are clear, concise, and compelling. So like those are the 3 C's that we try to teach people: clear, concise, compelling. The trainings, it depends. This is going to be the training on Friday is happening in College Station. And so we have some churches that a lot of times have residencies. And so we'll go to those churches and lead out these trainings that would happen either in College Station or if they're at the Village or if they're at the Summit Church. So we could be going to those places. The way that the climate is shifting, just with technology, asynchronous seems to be the trend moving forward. People seem to really like asynchronous. It's self-paced. It's 3 to 4 weeks. You don't have to take off kind of like these large portions of your day. You want to take off work. And so we're actually moving more towards asynchronous than the in-person training. So right now the in-person trainings are less frequent, but we have teams that are leading the way in that. So we got the USI International and then a fixed term. And so right now, the way that it's working, we're decentralized. So a lot of the US International Collegiate, we're working together to lead these in-person trainings. So I'm going to be working with Carl, who leads the fixed term team. So we're going to tag team and lead this training in College Station. I don't know the exact answer to like how frequent they are. I would just say the in-person trainings are less frequent than the asynchronous. The asynchronous, they seem to be taking off.
D'Amico, how can people connect with you? And, you know, if they want to go through one of these trainings, how do they do that?
Yeah. So if you want to partner with us or try to reach out to me directly, you could go to Reliant.org. There's going to be a tab at the top that says partner. And then you can go to U.S. churches, U.S. program teams, and then you'll be able to find me, CJ White, Becca, Isaac. She's a liaison. And so you can reach out to us there. That way we can help connect with you and make sure we help you with your training and coaching needs.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because you guys are you're definitely good at what you do, but you're also down to earth. Like there's a personal touch. To me, a lot of times as a church planner, man, like having that concierge, kind of like how you're just saying, like, hey, connect with me, you know, check me out here. That's important. And I think, you know, for the planner out there, I want you to imagine for a second, what would it look like if for your ministry, if the finances weren't a headache, you know, and working with your hands, you know, again, the mission dictates the model. Paul had a sliding scale. Sometimes he did all three, it seems, at all times, but sometimes he worked more with his hands than others. Other times it was more support raising. And, you know, it's funny because when we see Paul in Ephesus, he's almost all on support during his end game from the churches he already planted. He's making the asks. So don't think that, oh, I used to be on staff and now I've graduated to working with my hands. You're not exactly following Paul's model because mission dictates model. And I love your guys' approach, man. And I think it's so awesome. It's definitely something I've done over the years. I wished I had had Reliant back when I started because I was trying to fumble my way forward and I sucked at it. And, you know, as I asked that question, what would it look like for your ministry to not have that headache? I have always had that headache since, you know, but again, I don't know about you guys. You know, there wasn't, you know, and especially for people that aren't denominational, like, because if you go to a denominational, sometimes they'll give you like a little, you know, like here's an hour during this get together, whatever. But having someone that would coach you, that would walk with you through it, like super encouraging. So D'Amico, I just want to thank you for coming on today, taking time to invest in planners, pour into them. And for the listener, thanks for listening. Be sure to check out Reliant.org. Let them know that you heard about reliant from us. It makes them like us. I know you like us. They like us. Make them like us more. But be sure, you know, to know that we like you guys, and we hope you were blessed by this podcast today. And yeah, Pete, I think that's a wrap.
If you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you got to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.
Hey there, bivocational pastors. Are you tired of spinning your wheels, trying to juggle your church duties and provide for your family? Well, hold on tight, because I've got some game-changing news for you. It's time to unveil missionbybusiness.com, the holy grail of training programs crafted exclusively for bivocational pastors like you. We get it. Your time is sacred, and you deserve a money-making solution that won't suck up every minute of your day. In just 9 short weeks, you'll become a powerhouse, armed with the secrets to launch your own business using the mind-blowing force of artificial intelligence. Yep, AI is going to be your secret weapon. Now it's time to stop dreaming and start acting. Head over to missionbybusiness.com and feast your eyes on our masterclass video, which covers everything in much more detail. It's time to build a business that fuels your dreams, supports your church, and provides for your family. Don't wait another moment. Seize this opportunity with both hands. Head on over to missionbybusiness.com now.